It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Okay, let's read further.
And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them.
Okay, now somebody thinks, what is big idea about the fever? But do you know, every sickness, every disease start with a fever. When you have a fever, that means something is happening in your body. You may have a pimple, you may have a growth, you may got hurt, you may have some wound, but when you get a fever, then person has to understand this is not simple thing. Something is happening. There are so many kinds of fevers, and some of the fevers can kill you. And so all kinds of fever. So we do not know what kind of fever this Peter's mother-in-law had. If it was a simple little bit fever, nobody will bother Jesus Christ to come. He's a busy man going and doing great things. But somebody calls him, Jesus Christ is in town, and your mother-in-law dying with a fever. Now just think that that lady had a 106 fever, and she's an old lady. She's a mother-in-law, has to be a little bit old. So she might be dying with a fever. And so they call Jesus. And Jesus comes like a normal person, nothing to be worried, nothing to be afraid. Took her hand, get up. And she was completely healed. Just touching the hand of Jesus Christ. And she might be lying down, but he pulled her up. And she stood completely healthy. One day somebody called me to pray for one lady's a father. And I was preaching in one stadium, school stadium. She comes and says, my father is sick. I said, okay. I went there. This man is 95 or 97 years old. Now he's dying. All his relatives are all around to came from different cities. And the lady wanted me to go and give him a last rites or something. So I went there and said, sir, would you like to be healed? Yes. I said, come on out from the bed. And I gave him hand to pull him out just like Jesus did. And the people said, oh, don't touch him. I said, what? He's dying. Sir, would you like to come down from the bed and kneel down and pray with me? He said, yes. I just gave him hand. He came down, knelt with me. I prayed and said, walk around. And he walked around and he did not die that day. Maybe a couple of years later. But the point I'm making, Jesus, he knew that power of God is going to hit her and she's going to be completely healed. There is a power in the name of Jesus. When the Jesus presence is there, no sickness, no disease can stay in our body. Devil is a liar. He will bring sickness, he will bring disease, he will bring problem. But once we trust in Jesus Christ, there is a solution. Here it says, as soon as Jesus touched her, verse 31, he says, immediately, didn't say gradually. As soon as he touched and lifted her up, immediately the fever left and she ministered unto them. Not only fever left, now somebody had a flu, any kind of flu, and if you are in bed for a week, you will not have strength to pick up a tissue paper. You will not have strength to pick up anything. And that's the kind of weakness comes to your body. But this lady didn't say, well, my fever is gone, but leave me alone. Let me go and take a nap for a couple of days. She immediately starts serving Jesus Christ. And not only Jesus, there are so many guests. Who was there? There was all the disciples, and names, they name only four people, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. they were all there, and all other people were there, and she started ministering to them. Sometimes people just go and pray and get out and said nothing happened. That pastor came and prayed and nothing happened. We have to prepare the people. Simon's mother-in-law already knew about the power of Jesus because she knew my son-in-law went and followed Christ. So when Jesus touched me, I'm going to minister to him. And in the Word of God says there are so many ladies were ministering Jesus Christ, not only this mother-in-law, but many other ladies with the finances, with the food and everything, because they didn't have anybody cooking. So the ladies will bring the food, ladies will bring the money, and they're ministering to Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the Mark 1:32.
And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils.
See now, Jesus Christ was still in town, and those people heard about Jesus, that he cast the devil, and mother-in-law is healed. So this news traveled so fast, and many people start bringing all kinds of sickness and disease-filled people. That's mother-in-law's house. So now, I don't know, her house may be not crowded like a center city. She might be living in a farm or a bigger area. Because here is saying in the verse 33, how many people came there?
And all the city was gathered together at the door.
See, all the city came to her door. So she has to be living in farm with a 5-acre land or something. So all the people in the city could come and gather together at her door. So her door became a pulpit, and all these people came, and Jesus Christ ministered to those people. Thank God she didn't say, hey, get out of my house. The people are crowding here. I don't want these people coming to my house. Sometimes we have to let Jesus use your house. Once you're born again, you say, Lord, this house is not my house. This house is your house, dedicated to Jesus Christ. So I believe that lady gave this house to God, made her door as a pulpit. When you say all the city, those cities were not like a New York City and Philadelphia city, but a smaller city maybe. But whole city came to her door. And maybe it's not true, or maybe exaggeration, but they are trying to say some like a whole city came. Maybe not the whole city, but many people came from the city, and that's what this word is used. Some people might be saying, how can whole city come to her door? Her door was that big, her house was that big, but you never know how many acres land she had and how big the house was. Okay, let's go back to the verse 34.
And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him.
Now here he healed the people, sick people, diseased people, and cast out many devils. But you know that how the devil was saying, you are the Son of God, you are the Holy One of Israel. He did not allow them to do the publicity. He shut them out and cast them out. Okay, verse 35.
And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed.
Now here, Jesus Christ might be tired, weary. It was already evening and getting night. So what he did, he goes to the mountain or the lonely place, and he didn't take anybody with him, and he goes there to pray. And I don't know how he was praying whole night and or sleeping on the stone or the open ground without afraiding any animal coming and touching or killing or doing anything. He just went there a whole night, prayed and stayed whole night there. And nobody knew where he was, means he did not take Peter or anybody. He went a lonely place and he says he prayed there. Now, whole day tired and whole night praying, only Son of God can do. We are tired. We worked hard, and some of the people worked overnight, and sometimes even though they come to church, they feel sleepy, even though they want to listen, but the body doesn't permit. And so we are weaker vessel, but Jesus Christ did it, whole night praying, and early in the morning, see what happens. Let's read. Verse 36.
And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee.
This was not a night time. They were not looking for night time. Next day they were looking for him. And they looked everywhere. I don't know now how many disciples. In this jungle, lonely place, everybody searching, find Jesus wherever he is. And they found him out. And then they are telling him, many people are seeking you. Because he already saw whole city came to the door. Now, nighttime, everybody left. And daytime, maybe many people coming to the mother-in-law's house and blocking the doorway. He knew that's going to happen. So that's why in the nighttime, he went away. So the daytime, the people will not be crowding him and he will not be able to go anywhere else. So that's why he went out. And now he's not going back. Even the Peter and other disciples saying, those are the people waiting for you. Why don't you come back to those people? And somebody might be saying, why Jesus doesn't care about these people? There are hundreds and thousands of people waiting for him. And see what Jesus is saying.
And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth.
See, now he is saying, I'm not going back there. Maybe there are thousands of people waiting for me. But I'm going to go another town. That's my mission. Because I cannot stay in one town all the time. These people already heard the gospel. That's why sometimes some people make a mistake. You go and talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. And that person listens. You spend 8 hours or 10 hours. And that person said, I don't want to listen. And you spending time, you are wasting of your time. There are so many people never heard. Leave that person alone. And keep on praying for him. The word of God says in book of Ezekiel, once you warn somebody about sin, leave him alone. His blood is not going to come on you. God will judge him then. We cannot just go and knock one door one year. There are so many people never heard the gospel even one time. We want to preach the other places. Jesus did the same. He said, I'm not going to go to that crowd. I already preached there. They already know about me. I want to go somewhere where they never heard about me. And let's read further.
And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils.
Now he said, throughout all Galilee. But he went to every town, every city, every synagogue, every church. And so Jesus Christ wanted to go every town, every synagogue. So no one say, I never heard about Jesus Christ. That's what the Jesus Christ gave us command. Preach the uttermost part of the world. When the gospel will preach everywhere, then I'll come. But many people are thinking, gospel is already preached. Why Jesus Christ didn't come? Ask your neighbor. Do you know Jesus? Did you receive Jesus? No. Go to Jerusalem. How many people in Jerusalem are Christian? They are saying, I don't want to hear about Jesus. And they are persecuting people who are Christians. When I heard Jesus Christ says, it will be difficult for people to reach the whole Jerusalem when I come. And I thought Jerusalem on this Palestine or this Judea is small country. How Jesus Christ is saying in this word, it will be difficult for you to reach all those people until I come. And it's still true. 2,000 years happened, still those people are not Christians. And so we have to preach the word wherever we didn't preach. When I started the radio program, first program we did in WTMR. That reaches whole New Jersey, part of Philadelphia, part of Pennsylvania, and goes to all these shores of New Jersey and everywhere. Then I get to the WCCD. That WCCD reaches more part of Pennsylvania, stronger than WTMR. Then we start another program called WFIL, that was FM. These two stations were AM, other was FM. And so we thought we are doing preaching the gospel everywhere. But that was still in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And so when I got an idea, I said, I want to reach the whole world. some of the church members start saying, what is use, Pastor Peter? If you preach in Africa, what that has to do with our church? They're not going to come from Africa. I said, I just want to preach the word everywhere. So we started a program. Started first in New York, and 7 stations in New York, 2 stations in Philadelphia. And so we're reaching so much people here. Then we started 1 station in Caribbean island, reaching all Caribbean islands. Then we started in Philippine islands, reaching 70% of Philippine islands. Then Africa, East, West, and South Africa, reaching the whole continent of Africa. Then I wanted to reach the European country. They gave me the whole Europe. Then I wanted to go to China, Japan, Korea, and India. They gave me the whole Asia net, and we preach. Then we wanted to America and Canada, preaching everywhere. Only place I didn't go, South America, where the people are preaching, talking Spanish. So I asked those people, I want to reach South America, and I wanted to do some kind of translation in Spanish so I can go. Meantime, we bought the building, and the program were paid whole year in advance. And when the renewal came, I said, I cannot do it because my mortgage is too high. And we stopped it. Still, people are listening to this program because they might have demanded. Week ago, I got a letter from Zambia listening to our program. The point I'm making, some people do not have the vision, what the vision I have. I'm not narrowing down only for Philadelphia. I want to let the whole world know about what God is doing in our life. But I'm not stopping there. As the Lord provides, we will start all over again. Okay, let's go back. Verse 40.
And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean.
Now here, the leper with the leprosy is a worse kind of disease that was 2,000 years ago. Now also is there, but now there is a cure for leprosy. And in India and some other countries, they have leper colonies and they treat them if they are in early disease and they can be cured them. But this was 2,000 years ago. And so when the leper walks on the street, he has to say, leper, leper, unclean, unclean, so people can run away from him. And he cannot live in somebody's house. He has to live outside the city. So that's the kind of situation. And if somebody touches the leper, they have to take a bath. Jesus Christ goes, he says, he moved with the compassion. Now, you can see when somebody really has the compassion on people, you can see from the action the man is doing. Now you see that there are so many nurses and so many doctors in the world, but you can see some of the nurses and some of the doctors have compassion and love. When my wife was working on the floor and dealing with the sick people, she would work with them like she's working with her father, brother, or relatives are sick. That's called love and compassion. Some people have compassion. Some people are just working for money. They don't care where the needle hurts, where you feel bad. They don't care. They want your money. But Jesus Christ comes here with the compassion, with the love. When he touches him, the leper says, if it is your will, please touch me. Now, so many people are teaching sometimes, it is not God's will to heal you. And so many teachings are going around. They said, it's not God's will to heal you because God is the one give you disease. If God gives you disease, and so why? He said, God gives you disease to learn something. I tell these people, God does not teach you giving disease. When you have lots of fever and lots of headache, you don't want to listen to anybody saying anything because your brain is completely burning or somebody's boiling something in your brain, that time you don't want to hear anything. I tell them, can you teach your child with a pouring hot water or fire on them to learn the lesson? No, you cannot do that. So the same way, God does not give you sickness and disease to learn something. Jesus Christ says, I want to heal you. this is my will. I want to heal you. And when Jesus has the desire, that man has the desire, and your desire and Jesus' desire is one, you got it. Two people had to agree. Now just think that man wants him to heal, and Jesus says, your time is not come yet. Come another week. But Jesus wanted to heal him, and he wanted to let the people know healing is God's will. If somebody tells you, this is God gave it to you and you have to suffer for this, they are wrong. God does not give you sickness. Who gives? St. John chapter 10, verse 10. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So Jesus went with the compassion and healed him. Okay, let's finish these few verses.
And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed.
Immediately. Did not take 6 months, 3 months. Once Jesus touched that man, his finger, everything, nose, everything completely healed. And immediately the word of God says, Jesus Christ told him something. Let's finish it.
And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter.
Now Jesus Christ told this man, charged him means forcefully said, please, don't tell anybody that you had a leprosy and you got healed. You go to your priest. Now why he's sending to priest? Go to your priest because the priest has to check, then every leper's name is in their book. And so the leper get healed, he has to go to the priest and say, I'm healed. The priest will give some kind of offering, bring the dove or the cow or something and sacrifice, and then you can go to the community. Just read that verse one and we'll finish. Leviticus chapter 14, we don't have time, but if you want to go and look that, because we have to read almost 14 verses. So Leviticus chapter 14 will tell you when they get clean, we have to go to the priest, and priest has to approve it, and then they are clean. So this man, even though Jesus Christ told him not to tell anybody, but he went and told so many people. So many people start coming, so Jesus Christ could not go anywhere openly. That many people came. Now, can you imagine one person leper got healed, going in town and house to house and telling all people and bringing thousands of people? That makes us a little bit shame, right? What we doing? Week after week, and we are not able to bring one person with us. Or one person, new person to come to church. So this gives us a message. Once you got something, you go and tell somebody else. Because our job to bring as many as people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Book of Mark chapter 2 verse 1.
And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
You remember last time when Jesus was called to the Peter's mother-in-law's house, and the word of God said the whole city came to her door. And so there were so many people, and next day Jesus didn't go there because disciples said, you know, there are so many people gathered there, so please come. And he said, no, I have to go to another town. And they went. And I was thinking maybe this was the reason Jesus knew, if there is so many people coming to see me, and if there is no room, somebody is going to open the roof and coming. Thank God they didn't do mother-in-law's house. Otherwise, they will have a problem with the Peter and his wife. But here is the story. This, now he comes back, and people came to know. He says noise around means, in those days, they didn't have the television or radio. But somehow, word of mouth went to everywhere, and many people gathered to one person's house. But he was inside, and so many people gathered around the house, and there were no way they can go through the door. Now here the one man, he says, he is paralyzed. I don't know, whole body is paralyzed, but somehow he cannot walk. So he had some friends, and the friend says, okay, we'll do something. If there is no room to go in or we cannot go through the door, we will open the roof. And they opened the roof, and they found out where Jesus was, and right in front of him, they dropped the man. The word of God says, he saw their faith. Now, I believe these four people, their names are not given. Those people had faith. Jesus did some miracle for us, and he will do it for you. It takes a lot of courage. Just picture in your mind. I don't know how the house was tall or flat or whatever. They have to have courage. And then they go and open the roof. Those roofs were not like cement concrete. They were a little bit easy to open. I don't know what kind of roof was. But it takes a courage. If the house is broken and the landlord complains, we will fix it. We will do everything. Don't you worry. We will not allow you to die or get crippled. You are already crippled. You are not going to lose anything. We are going to drop there and Jesus Christ is going to heal you. Maybe this man finally agreed or what. But now, he's already dropped in front of Jesus Christ. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, I was just thinking, this man is crippled. Somebody would say, what kind of sin he did? He cannot rob the bank. He cannot kill somebody. Or he cannot do any sinful activity. What his sin? So I don't know if this man was born paralyzed or in the middle age something happened to him and got paralyzed. The story doesn't say. But even the person cannot commit sin with his body, but the person can commit sin with his mind, with his heart. And so Jesus Christ says to those other people, your faith is great, but at the same time to this man he says, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. And they, when they heard, they start thinking, who is this man? How can he forgive sins? If you read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 and 2, he quotes simply exactly what the Mark says. He says, son. But if you go to the Luke chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, there Jesus doesn't say son, he says man. So from that I understood, when Matthew and Mark agree, he said to the man son, Luke said man.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.